It's Tuesday, and we welcome you to Eagles 360 here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Dave Spadaro, Chris McPherson here at the NovaCare Complex. The Eagles returning from their mini-bye weekend, back on the practice field today. Everybody excited about the Seattle Seahawks coming to town.
Big time showdown. The Eagles have won 10 straight regular season games at home. Can they make it 11? The Super Bowl champions are going to make it very difficult, but they're only one game back in the NFC West. They have so much to play for, and they are excelling at this time of year with back-to-back wins over division rivals by the identical score of 19-3, Dave.
Yeah, the Legion of Boom really playing great football. The defense is impressive, and the offense not bad either. The Seahawks rounding into shape, and the Eagles, of course, playing excellent football. Let's get you caught up on everything before we get into our show, which is a great one. We go to Bo Wolf, our Eagles 360 update, presented by Sports Authority.
Thank you, fellas. And, of course, the Eagles now back to work at the NovaCare Complex, getting ready to take on the defending Super Bowl champions, the Seattle Seahawks, and the defense that has allowed just 3 points in each of their last two games, rounding into shape here. The Legion of Boom, how will the Eagles' offense handle them? Well, Mark Sanchez is coming off perhaps his best game as the Eagles' starting quarterback. He explains what the offense needs to do against Seattle.
I mean, if you spend too much time worried about one guy, they have so many playmakers, you know. So they got Averill and Bennett and, I mean, guys all over the field. Both corners are playing really well. Obviously, their safeties are two of the best in the league. It's one of the best secondaries we'll play.
And then when you drop back to pass, you know, they're a quick, fast defense that can get pressure on the quarterback. And then when you got long corners out on the perimeter, you know, they're tall. You know, other than Earl Thomas, you know, everybody in their secondary is probably over 6'1", you know, when you look at just how they line up. And so when you have length, they do a good job with their hands. You know, it makes it a challenge.
On the other side of the ball, of course, the Seahawks offense, all about that zone read option with Russell Wilson and defensive coordinator Bill Davis, says perhaps there is no staff better equipped to handle that offense than the one here in Philadelphia.
It's the biggest difference. Our guys have spent a career of defending this, and it's old hat to them right away. I mean, they've got answers for everything right away. Where honestly, someone's got a call. Over the last 2 years, now again, we face it in practice every day, so that's a benefit to us. And then the coaches that we have are not only outstanding coaches on any scheme, but the read option is a part of what they know well.
Now, unfortunately, you'll remember, of course, that the last time these two teams met, Marshawn Lynch ran all over the Eagles' defense. Safety Malcolm Jenkins, of course, not a part of that team, but he knows full well what Lynch can do to a defense.
You know, having to play him twice last year, and then you just watch him on tape, I definitely think he's probably the hardest tackle in football. He's just hard to get down. And, you know, he can make you miss. He can run you over. You know, and you see guys from secondary to linebackers to D linemen who really can't get him down with an arm tackle, with a solid tackle for that much. He's running guys over, keeps his legs moving. He enjoys contact.
That'll do it for your 360 update presented by Sports Authority. Head coach Chip Kelly addresses the media again tomorrow. You can watch it live, as always, right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. That'll be at 10:50 in the morning.
Thanks, Bo. In a little bit, we'll go behind enemy lines. But this Sunday showdown features two of the more interesting head coaches in the entire National Football League. And, Dave, you go one-on-one with the Eagles head coach.
Yeah, Chip Kelly comes into studio here with our next segment. He has the ultimate respect for the Seattle Seahawks. We'll hear from Chip Kelly and what he thinks about the rampaging Seahawks when Eagles 360 returns.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
The
get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding Scepter was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
We welcome you into the studio. Dave Spadaro joined by Eagles head coach Chip Kelly. Eagles playing Seattle on Sunday. Big game, of course, at Lincoln Financial Field. And a coach, you give the players a few days off during the weekend. They're back at work today. What kind of energy and kind of refreshed feeling did you see today?
Well, they're fired up. I mean, obviously, we're playing. We had a good win over Dallas, and it puts us in a position to play meaningful football here in December. And it doesn't get any bigger than the defending Super Bowl champs. And Seattle's playing really well. Had a big victory over the 49ers. They played on Thanksgiving also, so they're excited about the opportunity and the challenge of going to play them.
It's not easy to repeat as a Super Bowl champion. It's happened 8 times, not since 2003, 2004. Teams often next year struggle, but Seattle's right there in the mix. Why are they so good again?
Well, they're very talented. You know, they got the number one defense in the National Football League. They also got playmakers on offense. They've got Marshawn Lynch, you got Russell Wilson. You know, they're good on the offensive line. I think it's just a good team, and it was a young team that won the Super Bowl last year, and they got most of those pieces back from last year. So it's Pete's done a great job of putting that team together. They're well coached, and they got a lot of really good players.
What impresses you about Wilson?
He's just his poise. I think he's a real good decision maker. He can beat you with his arm and his legs, and that's the one thing that I think he's a multifaceted guy. But some guys that have the ability to run, that's all they do, you know, and then they're running around trying to make things happen. I just think he plays with such calmness out there that he takes what the defense gives him. If they're going to cover everybody and give him the opportunity to run, he's going to get what he can and then get down. He doesn't take any big hits, but when he does scramble, he's always looking to keep his eyes up. And if you just say, hey, Art, you got to beat us throwing, I think he can beat you throwing because he's got an NFL arm and he's smart. So I think he's everything you're looking for in a quarterback.
Malcolm Jenkins also said that today, that Wilson doesn't take big hits. So is it eyes in the back of your head? Is it an innate kind of just a sense that you have?
I think it's both, and I think he has the athletic ability to get away from people, you know, mm-hmm. but he's not looking to – some guys are looking to run and not sure where it's coming. He's going to get what he can and get out of bounds. I think he's got a real good feel for pocket awareness in terms of what's breaking down around him, and then he has such a good understanding of what they're doing offensively. He knows where his guys are, so that's when he's his most dangerous, when he's on the move.
With Wilson and his mobility and Marshawn Lynch and the power that he has against the Eagles' defense, which has been so good against the run, unique challenge, or because you've seen Cam Newton and you've seen Colin Kaepernick, that helps in this game?
I think it's a different scheme than what Carolina and San Francisco run, so I think it is a unique challenge for us. I think they put themselves in some really good situations offensively, and that's a credit to the Seattle coaching staff. So it's different than playing Carolina in terms of what they do scheme-wise offensively, and definitely different than what the 49ers do.
Heard so much about the Seattle secondary. You've obviously watched a ton of what they do. What do they do so well?
They're really good players. You know, then they've got good players at every position, so it's not just the corner's great. I think I think Richard Sherman's one of the best corners in this league. He's got the most interceptions since 2011 by a ton. You know, he's got 23. The next closest guy, I think, he's got 8 less than that. Earl Thomas may be the best safety in the game right now. And then you also have Cam Chancellor. Lane's playing real well at the nickel spot. Maxwell's playing real well at the other corner. They've got some depth in the secondary to go along with it, so they've got a lot of really good players at every spot out there.
It's a great challenge for the Eagles' offense, and this offense has gotten some contribution from a lot of players, including some rookies, Jordan Matthews and Josh Huff. I wondered if you could take us back to draft weekend and kind of how you projected those players fitting in and then how it's actually worked out during the course of the year.
You go back to draft weekend, we don't have anybody projected anywhere. It's just those are the guys that we felt at the time are the best that were available when we had our opportunity to pick, and now let's get them here and figure out what they can do. So there's no immediate plans when we drafted either any of those guys, those two in particular, anybody of, hey, this guy's going to do this, this guy's going to do this, and we'll do this and we'll do that, because you never know until you get them here. So we got them here. We're pleased with both of them. They both have great work ethics. They both work extremely hard. Josh was probably a little bit behind just because he missed a significant amount of time with The shoulder injury, you know, from the second beginning of the second preseason game up to our fourth regular season game. So, but both of them are really progressing. They're dynamic with the ball in their hands. So we're excited to have both of them.
Mark Sanchez at quarterback again, really playing very well. What kind of progress has he made since he stepped in Houston to the win in Dallas?
I just think he's more comfortable in terms of what we're doing. You know, he missed an entire year of football a season ago when he got banged up with the Jets and missed the entire year. So he's just still getting his feet underneath him. And then, you know, we go through OTAs and mini camp and then preseason camp, and he plays in preseason games. And then he sits for seven games for us, you know, until he has to go in the second half of the Houston game or the second quarter of the Houston game. So he's just starting to get comfortable. I think he's a smart player. He had a couple different coordinators when he was in New York, so he understands offense. You know, a lot of it's just putting it into our terminology, because most of the people in this league all run the same stuff. So, and then the more he sees it, the more comfortable he is, the more he understands the receivers. Where do they like the ball? Where are they going to be coming in and out of break? So it's just a comfort level of him being in our offense and just getting more used to what we're doing.
And I know you've talked about the run game, Chip, and how much it's been productive, not only this year, last year led the league in rushing. Good to see LeSean McCoy cranking it up at this time of the year. And what's been the key to really making this thing go?
I just think we have some continuity in the offensive line. The same guys are playing the same positions, and they're used to being next to each other. And, you know, we obviously got, you know, Kelsey's a little bit healthier, Evan Mathis a little bit healthier. So, you know, getting those two guys back was a big plus for us. And then just getting that whole group of five guys to continue to play together and understand, you know, how they work together as a group. And I think that's the most important thing.
So let me try this one on you. Eagles go through the stretch in 2013, 7 of 8 wins down the stretch, get into the playoffs. Does the success from last year down the stretch at all carry into what you're going through right now for the players?
I mean, I think for some, but some of these guys weren't here. Sanchez wasn't here. Malcolm Jenkins wasn't here. Darren Sproles wasn't here. Nolan Carroll wasn't here. You know, there's some key contributors that we brought in addition to him. Jordan obviously wasn't here. Huff wasn't here. So I think some of the guys can go back to that, but it's a different year. You know, maybe Connor can look back to some of those things, or Trent Cole, who really played well down the stretch for us, and some of those guys. But other guys, it's always a new group. But you can always, I think, the guys that were part of it can get some experience from that.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck on Sunday. Eagles, Seattle at Lincoln Financial Field. We thank Coach Kelly for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hi, my name is Jim Taylor. I've been with Acme for 34 years. Our Lancaster brand beef is the best around. We cut our meat fresh every day. We actually have customers come from other stores just for our meat.
Freshness is our number one priority. No one beats our fresh fish.
We have the freshest apples, the Christie's lettuce. Fresh produce is what we do.
We do the best cake decorating in the area, hands down.
123 years strong. Come on in, you'll see the changes, you'll feel it, you'll love it.
The moment we dare to imagine is the moment progress begins. In a flash, the inconceivable becomes everyday. Imagine someone doing the same for healthcare. At Jefferson, we've brought together some of the brightest minds in medicine, in research and innovation, resulting in advancements that will touch lives in amazing ways. You might not see how a health sciences university, an academic medical center, and spectacular collisions of imagination can change your future, but you will.
Eagles fans! When the Eagles win, you win.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win, you win.
Go Eagles!
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
All season long, stop into your local Acme markets and purchase the Eagles item of the week. Enter the code at the bottom of the receipt at swoopinandwin.com. You'll be entered to win one of several prizes, including Eagles season tickets, Eagles autographed merchandise, and Acme gift cards. Acme Market, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles. Welcome back, Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Chris McPherson. Time to talk a little fantasy football as the playoffs beckon.
Yes, they do. LeSean McCoy had an outstanding game last Thursday against the Dallas Cowboys. Can he keep it up against the Seattle Seahawks? And you have to talk some Johnny Football after he came in for Brian Hoyer. And the two gentlemen to do that are Bo Wolf and Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com in this week's Fantasy Spin.
Playoffs? We are talking playoffs here on the Fantasy Spin presented by Bud Light. Bo Wolf, Joe Dolan of FantasyGuru.com, and Joe, all the decisions take on a much more added importance this week as most leagues are entering their playoffs, are already in their playoffs. And let's start with the Eagles at wide receiver, where obviously if you have Jeremy Maclin, you've gotten great production, over 1,000 yards on the season last week, but he may be matched up against the inimitable Richard Sherman on Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. How much do you trust J-Mac going up against the Seattle pass defense?
I think you downgrade everybody going up against the Seattle pass defense, Bo, but I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to absolutely bury Jeremy Maclin and automatically put him on my bench because he's facing the Legion of Boom. And you look at the numbers, Seattle has been the hardest fantasy defense for wide receivers. But frankly, since they lost in Week 6 to the Dallas Cowboys, they faced a bunch of teams that couldn't do diddly-poo offensively. The Kansas City Chiefs are among them, the San Francisco 49ers on Thanksgiving, that was a really ugly game. Even the Giants, who kind of gave them a little bit of a run, really ended up struggling overall. I have not been impressed with Seattle's level of competition recently, and the Eagles on the road for them provided a whole other challenge. I think it's totally fair to downgrade Jeremy Maclin a little bit, but I have a hard time believing he's not going to be one of your three best wide receivers.
I don't know if I have any more Jim Mora drops, so let's just move on to LeSean McCoy, who, of course, is turning it on over these last two games. A couple big games, over 100 yards against Tennessee, and the big one against Dallas last week. But again, he's going up against this Seahawks defense. How much do you trust Shady?
And I think you downgrade him maybe a little bit. Maybe put him in RB2 type range for numbers, Bo. But really, what other options do you have? LeSean McCoy's gone above 20 carries and 80 yards in 7 of his last 8 games. He scored 3 times in his last 4 games, and he just had 2 huge 100-yard games. This guy touches the ball a ton, he's getting it done a ton, and Evan Mathis and Jason Kelce are back in action. You have 2 of the most athletic offensive linemen back, and they're finally starting to get their chemistry together. Look, Seattle's a very good defense, but they've lost Brandon McBain. And one other factor I think is important, how about Mark Sanchez last week against Dallas starting to tuck and run on some of those zone read plays? It shows the defense that you have to be concerned about it. And Mark Sanchez is a pretty good athlete, and he showed that if he's going to get 5 or 6 free yards from the defense, he's going to take it. So I think that's going to help open up lanes for Shady McCoy as well. Chances are he's one of your 2 best running backs this week, and I really don't see a whole lot of teams having the luxury of sitting him.
Well, if you have been streaming quarterbacks effectively enough to get yourself to the playoffs, perhaps this is the week for you. Johnny Football looks like he could be getting the starting nod in Cleveland. Obviously, he brings that rushing threat. How high up do you rank Johnny Football, as you like to say? I know he's got the it factor, as Greg Cosell likes to say, but do you pick him up and start him? How high do you have Johnny?
Well, if I've been streaming quarterbacks, I absolutely am considering Johnny Manziel. I would think he's probably in the top 15 range for me this week. When I sit all said and done, I sit down and make my rankings. Look, Johnny Manziel, he's not going to come out there and look like a polished pocket passer. We know that's not going to happen. But the 10.5 fantasy points that Johnny Manziel scored in less than a full quarter's worth of action against Buffalo, more than Brian Hoyer has scored in 3 of his last 4 full games. So the Cleveland Browns said they needed a spark. I think Johnny Manziel does provide that. And I just want to point out, 3-4 years ago, this time of year, Tim Tebow was a viable fantasy starting quarterback for playoff teams. Do not discount the possibility that if Johnny Manziel is playing, that he is going to be able to put up fantasy numbers down the stretch.
All right, Joe, let's end this off with a couple other under-the-radar guys who might have favorable schedules over the next couple weeks. I know you like Isaiah Crowell in that Browns backfield.
Well, yeah, actually, over the next 3 weeks, the number one PPR schedule for running backs, Isaiah Crowell, I think Johnny Manziel helps him out. I think you'll also have to look to, as much as I hate to say it, Jonathan Stewart of the Carolina Panthers. I hate the Panthers' backfield. I really do. But D'Angelo Williams with a broken hand, Jonathan Stewart had a nice game this past week. And over the next 3 games, he has a top 5 PPR running back schedule. And if you're digging really deep at the wide receiver position, pay attention to Stedman Bailey of the St. Louis Rams, who has a nice-looking schedule as well. He has outplayed most of the other receivers on that team.
Well, that is your Fantasy Spin presented by Bud Light. That's the managing editor of FantasyGuru.com, Joe Dolan. Follow him on Twitter at FG_Dolan for all your other fantasy football questions. And, of course, good luck to you, Joe, and good luck to all of you out there playoffs.
Well, thanks very much, guys. Now we return to the reality world of the NFL, and the Seattle Seahawks, Chris, have really gotten things going after some ups and downs following the Super Bowl win last year. And I know that you have a chance to dig deep behind enemy lines.
Yes, we're going to go behind enemy lines, bring in Jen Mueller, the radio silent reporter for the Seattle Seahawks. She's going to explain how Pete Carroll has been able to avoid the Seahawks having a Super Bowl hangover in 2014.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Hard work, work.
There you go.
Hard work.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified, authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
It's time to go behind enemy lines here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and we bring in the sideline reporter for the Seattle Seahawks radio broadcast, Jen Mueller. You can follow her on Twitter at JenTalkSports. Jen, the Seattle Seahawks have won their last two games, and they are now only one game behind the Arizona Cardinals for first place in the NFC West. How has Pete Carroll been able to avoid the Super Bowl hangover following the Seahawks championship season in 2013?
Well, I think that there's a couple of different factors at play, and I think the biggest one that everybody's going to point to is the fact that they're getting healthy at the right time. A couple weeks ago, Bobby Wagner returned to the middle of that defense and really helped solidify a lot of those run fits that had been problems for a couple of weeks, and Cam Chancellor is back to playing at almost 100%. He's been battling a couple different injuries, ankle and hip and things like that throughout the season, but I will tell you this. There is another factor that you cannot possibly quantify, and it's this team meeting that they had a couple weeks ago where they really talked about playing for each other and not focusing on individual stats, but doing whatever they can to make each other better on the field. And that is what the players and the coaches point to as making the biggest difference in the last 2 weeks.
So, Jen, following up on that, how important was it for the team to get rid of Percy Harvin? As talented as he was, it just seemed like that he was almost like a cancer inside that Seahawks locker room.
Well, I think that he caused a lot of disjointedness on the offense. Because he is so talented and he can be used so many different ways, the Seahawks got away from what had led them to a championship last year, and that was feeding the ball to Marshawn Lynch and really pounding it on the ground. You know, when you're trying to get the ball to Percy, you've got less touches going to Marshawn. You know, I did not experience the same things with Percy as the players did, only they know how he impacted meeting rooms and how he impacted the locker room. But you could certainly make the argument that once he was not part of the equation on offense, the Seahawks could get back to what they've been so successful at.
Jen, with the focus of the offense going back to Marshawn Lynch, how, in your estimation, has that helped Russell Wilson as he continues to develop as a quarterback?
Well, it's tremendously helpful to have an outlet like Marshawn. And what we've seen them do with Marshawn more this year is actually throw him the ball more and to run him on little screen plays and on little outs. And that's been helpful for Russell. And the way that they move the offense around, you know, it's opened up a lot of running lanes for Russell. You have seen him gain more yards on the ground this year than some running backs, starting running backs across the league. Now, the Seahawks are always going to look for him to pass the ball instead of run the ball, and Russell will tell you that himself. But, you know, when you've got a guy like Marshawn who can pound it, and early in the game, I promise you, he's not going to pick up a lot of yards. And you're going to look at this and you're going to say, what are they doing? But by the third and the fourth quarter, the defense is going to get so tired of trying to stop Marshawn, he's going to get the 5 and the 6 yard gain.
Jen, let's talk about the Seattle defense. You mentioned them at the beginning of the segment here. How do you think they will match up against Chip Kelly and the up-tempo offense, which is clicking all cylinders with Mark Sanchez running things at quarterback and LeSean McCoy getting things going on the ground?
You know, I am curious to see how this works because the last few weeks, it has really been ground and pound that they have had to play. And it's really just been kind of like one of those slugfest heavyweight battles. I do think the secondary is chomping at the bit to do just a little bit more and to be tested in different ways. Because if you're facing teams, you know, like the Niners who'd really prefer to run the ball or Arizona, then you're not getting as much work in the secondary. I think conditioning-wise, they're probably in great shape. I know that the Eagles are running to play, what, every 22 seconds, I think, which is incredible to me. I am curious to see how that defensive line holds up. They're not quite as deep as they were last year. Those rotations are going to happen really quickly. But the Seahawks will play base defense. They're not going to do anything crazy. So if you just keep your base defense out there, I think you're going to be in better shape so that you're not making those substitutions, you know, during the middle of plays and trying to beat Chip Kelly at that, because I don't think you can.
I can't wait for the matchup this weekend, seeing Chip Kelly going against Pete Carroll, the Eagles offense against the Seattle defense. So many interesting storylines. Jen Mueller, again, the silent reporter for the Seattle Seahawks radio broadcast. Thank you very much for taking us behind enemy lines here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
The moment we dare to imagine is the moment progress begins. In a flash, the inconceivable becomes everyday. Imagine someone doing the same for healthcare. At Jefferson, we've brought together some of the brightest minds in medicine, in research, and innovation, resulting in advancements that will touch lives in amazing ways. You might not see how a health sciences university, an academic medical center, and spectacular collisions of imagination can change your future, but you will.
Hi, my name is Rhonda. I've worked for Acme Markets for 30 years. Here at Acme, community means everything to us. Prices have never been better.
Going up and down the aisles, I do get a lot of compliments when the lower prices.
Your store looks great. I love the people. I love the shop here.
I just think people are definitely seeing a change and seeing that it's getting better with Acme. And it's not just the prices. It's the customers that are coming in here talking it up. Come on in. Check us out.
We're back.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win?
You win!
Go Eagles!
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
Sports Authority is proud to be the official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. We are back. It's Eagles 360. We come your way Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Dave Spadaro, Chris McPherson. Time to go into the Wayback Machine. The year was 2008. Chris, we remember it well.
Yes, we
the
do.
The Eagles in Seattle and the Eagles offense getting a little help from an unexpected source. Dan Klecko shows us what happened. The Eagles and the Seattle Seahawks, 2008, in our old school All-22 feature.
So what's up, Eagles fans? I'm Dan Klecko, and this is the old school All-22. And this week, we're going to give some love to the Big Uglies.
Back in 2008, the Eagles visited the Seahawks, and Donovan McNabb put on a clinic through the air, completing 28 of 43 passes for 349 yards and two touchdowns, in what resulted in a 26-7 victory. But it was a touchdown to the unlikeliest of targets that we will always remember this game for.
All right, everybody, let's look at the play to one of my favorite of all time. Todd Harriman's one of the best Eagles to ever put on a uniform. Let's take a look at him right here. So as we come out, we have an overloaded line right there. So right now, the Seattle antennas should be up thinking something's up with Todd standing right there. As we bring the fullback in motion, And man, was he fat back then. But we'll let him get away with it. He comes out, flag flat, every standard play in the NFL. Everybody runs that on the goal line. Covered very well by Seattle. That's what they're going to do right there. You're going to have the late drag by the tight end coming off the backside. All very well covered. But they forgot one guy right here who's going to release late. He's going to release late right there. Todd Harriman's. Throws the defensive end off of him. Stands right there. Donovan does a great job. Sees him come open. Touchdown for the big men. Score one for us. Do you think he gave me any love with a hug? He didn't. I'll tell you that right now. But I still love Todd. One of the greatest Eagles of all time.
Very good stuff there from Dan and Todd Harriman's with the emphatic celebration after scoring the touchdown. That'll do it for us today. Tomorrow we return at 5 o'clock. A little bit of cover two as we get some reporters to talk about this matchup, the chatter of the town. And Sal Palantonio from ESPN joins me in studio to talk Eagles and the Seahawks. As it really heats up on Wednesday.
You're excited.
Of course. Hey, we thought these three games would be great, and they started off great on Thursday night. Round two on Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. For Chris McPherson, I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us in Eagles 360. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.